Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brian. Good to have you back, brother. All right. Thank you, worship team. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 20. And we left off last week with Paul meeting Christ face to face on the road to Damascus. And he's blinded, and he goes into Damascus now as the Lord had instructed him. His companions with him bring him into Damascus there at Judas's house, there on Straight Street. And this is where we pick up the narrative this morning. And if we had the title today's message anything, is that God uses everyday disciples, you and me. He uses us for wonderful things in his kingdom, and sometimes when we least expect it. You have your Bibles, chapter 9 of Acts, verses 10 through 20. So here, Saul had been there in Judas's house, and he'd been there about 3 days. What was he doing? Praying. Could you imagine this man who sought out Christians and to kill them was now praying to the very one that he sought out to kill? And this is where we pick up the story here in verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. And the Lord said, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. And now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. Let's pray together. Father God, show us through your word this morning, God, how you want to use each of us. You created us, you called us, you saved us for a purpose. Lord, that calling on our life is a lifetime thing. And God, I pray that you prepare us, each one of us, for what that purpose is. And there may be many times, many things come up, God, throughout our lifetime that you use us for the furtherance of your kingdom. I pray today for your children, those who call you Lord. Lord, I ask you that you open our eyes, open our hearts to receive this word and give us direction and instruction in Christ's name. Amen. What a narrative. Here we see Saul's conversion, man, and it's filled with miracles. Think about it. Not only did he meet Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, right there on the road to Damascus, but he's also praying. So Saul is praying, and he has a vision. The Lord tells him, there's a man named Ananias is coming to see you. Now, Ananias was nothing special. I mean, he was not an apostle. He was not a prophet. He was not a high-ranking official that we know of. An ordinary believer in the Lord Jesus. And he was chosen by a sovereign God for his sovereign plan to minister in Saul's life. How? By laying hands on him, that he might receive and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He receive his sight back, that he might be baptized. Listen, Ananias was an ordinary disciple. He wasn't from the seminary. He didn't have his master's or doctorate degree. Man, he was just a guy that loved the Lord, and the Lord used him. I think we can all identify with that. If you call yourself a Christian, if you say that you love Jesus, then you can identify with Ananias. God uses Ananias here, and he uses us in similar ways for his divine providential plan. So there are four things in this text that I want us to see, that kind of stand out for us, some takeaways for us. The first thing is this, that as believers, we have a God-ordained purpose. We have a purpose that God has created us and saved us for. Verses 10 through 12 says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Who is Ananias here? We don't know a whole lot about Ananias. Honestly, Scripture doesn't give us much to say about him. Matter of fact, after this, we don't really hear anything more about him in Scripture. No. But we know a little bit about him from Paul's defense before the Sanhedrin over in Acts chapter 22, verse 12. Paul testifies before the Jews about this man, Ananias. Says a certain Ananias, now it was a common name back then. You don't hear too many people named it today, but it was a common name. He was a man who was a devout in his standard of the law, that's what verse 12 says of Acts 22, and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there. He came to me and standing near said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. So we know a few things about him, that he was a devout Jew who had been converted to Christ. He was now a Christian, Messianic Jew. He was of good report and of good favor among all the Jews there in Damascus. He was devout, keeping the law of Moses. And maybe he was one of the leaders there in the synagogues there around Damascus because of his devout love for the Lord. We don't know for sure. But the Lord chose him in such a way as that would transform Christianity. You see, the Lord chose such a Christian to go to Saul so that it might convince the Jews of Damascus that Saul's conversion was authentic. You think about it. If one of the leader Jews there, ordinary guy, but loved the Lord, devout, and he converts to Christianity, and he then goes to Saul, who was a killer of Christians, can you imagine everybody's attentions now going on this guy, Ananias, Well, if he went to Saul, well, maybe it's real. Maybe it's authentic. Maybe this Saul guy, it has been truly changed. He didn't come now to kill, but to join in with us. Ananias had likely been a Christian for some time, maybe even from Pentecost, which was a few years before. Maybe he was there on the streets in Jerusalem when Pentecost happened and Peter stood up and preached the message and 3,000 were saved and baptized. We don't know exactly, but it appears that he had been following Christ for a while. That he had been a Christian and saved. Verse 10 says, and the Lord said to him in a dream or in a vision. It was the Lord alone there speaking to Ananias and giving him a responsibility. Now, some of us don't want any more responsibilities in our life. But listen, when the Lord gives you a responsibility, you can't squirm out of it. It's a responsibility that he has for you because he called you, gave you a purpose, and gave you a reason to be here and to serve. So here he is. The Lord appeared to Ananias, probably in a dream, to reveal his will to him. He said to this certain disciple, Ananias willingly responded to the Lord's call. Listen, when you woke up in the middle of the night hearing your name called, Ananias, he knew who it was. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. You notice Ananias' response is similar to the manner of response that others have given in Scripture. Matter of fact, Samuel, when he was a little boy over in the Old Testament, was called by the Lord, woke him up and says, here am I, Lord. The great prophet Samuel. And there are others. We're also reminded in Isaiah, his response to the Lord's call. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Oh, listen, when the Lord puts a call on your life, he has a purpose for you to fulfill. Maybe it's for a short season. Right then and there, listen, don't hesitate, don't run. Just hear my Lord, send me. Hear my. Send me, because the Lord has a purpose for each one of us. When we say we're Christians, he has a purpose for us in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. You see, a lot of times people think it's just the vocational pastors. Yeah, that's the ones who need to respond here, my Lord, send me. No, what about you in the place that you work or the place that you go to school? What about you and your family? Here, my Lord, use me, Lord. In some way, I'm open for what you want, God. It may be in the mission field. Listen, if you don't think the Lord's calling you to go to some foreign country in serve as missions, he's probably not. But those who he does send over there, they know the Lord sent them there. The Lord has put upon their heart and the power of the Holy Spirit that's where they need to be. Do you have a purpose in life? And you remember the book years ago, Rick Warren wrote, A Purpose-Driven Life, and man, everybody, well, that was a big excitement, man. When I first got here about 20 years ago, we were doing Purpose-Driven Life, and that was awesome. You read the whole book, you know what the end of the book is, you know what your purpose is in life? It's to give God glory with who he created you to be. I'll save you from buying the book. who God created you to be is to give him glory. Listen, your purpose is to give God glory with all the gifts and talents and resources, everything that he's placed you in the place that he's put you and the people who's put around. It's for you to be a shining light to point them to Jesus. Not to complain about the job that you have. Not to bellyache about this, not to complain about that, not all the negative stuff that you wish were different. How can you make a difference there for the glory of God? What was Ananias' purpose? Verse 11 says, he says, get up, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. Well, that's a good indication that the man's praying. Verse 12, and he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and by his hands lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. The Lord's telling Ananias, this is giving him some detail, this is what you're going to do. That man's over there waiting for you. He already knows your name, and he knows what you're going to do when you get there. What I'm telling you is what he's expecting. What we have to understand is the purpose of for which God has called us in this season of our life and for this in this particular reason that he's given to us. He's already working in the people's lives ahead of us. You think you're going in there blind? No, God is already working. You take care of your business and let God take care of his business. How can I get up and preach every Sunday knowing that a lot of people will just ignore? They're playing on their phones. They can't wait to get out of here. They're doing all sorts of other things because I know that the Holy Spirit is dealing with somebody. It may not be you. Maybe your life is going in so many different directions that you won't stop long enough and quieten your soul for the Lord to talk to you. But somebody is. You see, my job is just to preach the gospel. His job is to work in your life. God gave Ananias some specifics here for his task. But he also left Ananias some room to demonstrate steps of faith. That is key. God's not going to take you by the hand and lead Ananias down there. No, Ananias still had to get up and go. And he still had to deal with every step of walking down the straight street, which still exists in Damascus today, and get to Judas's house. There was some faith there. So Ananias, this ordinary disciple who genuinely loved the Lord, has just been commissioned by Jesus to go to Judas's house. Who's Judas? Judas was also what we believe his name is also known as Barsabbas, and we'll see him later on in Acts chapter 15. But it's believed that he's a believer. This man, Ananias, had to get up out of his house, out of the safety and security of his house, knowing that Saul's in town, and he had to walk down to Judas's house. Because Saul was notorious. Man, he was notoriously violent. His reputation preceded him there to Damascus. And Ananias had no clue what all God was doing here. He was just being faithful to fulfill the purpose for which God had just given to him. He had no clue of the impact of the task that the Lord had given to him, how it would impact the church and spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. He just knew that he needed to go down the straight street to Judas's house, find this man named Saul of Tarsus, and lay hands on him and let the Lord do the rest. He just knew at this moment Christ Jesus had commissioned him with this task that shot fear into him. and anxiety. The second thing we need to see out of here, a little takeaway, is listen, as Christians, we all experience doubts. We all experience doubt. We all experience some anxiety. There's some acid in our stomach, so to speak. We all experience some fears, even though we know God is sovereign and God's in control. And we're not. We all experience some doubts. Verse 13 and 14 explains that to us. So we can certainly identify with this issue in our Christian journey. Have you ever in doubt, had any doubts in your life? I'm sure that you have. You probably doubted about coming to church this morning. Think about it. We can be in a great place with the Lord Jesus. Man, we can be living in victory and joy is welling up from deep in our soul. And man, life is good. We're at peace. We're at peace of mind and peace in our spirit. We call that a mountaintop experience with God. Life is good, and we're enjoying it. Then a storm comes. Some things in life begin to disrupt that peace that we're enjoying. I like to think we're on the top of the mountain and the earth begins to quake. Things are not so peaceful anymore because of all these other things happening around us. And it stirs up some doubts, stirs up some anxieties and some fears in us. Verse 13 and 14, but Ananias answered. You can hear it in his answer. Lord, I've heard from many people about this man, how much harm he's caused and how much he's done to your saints. Just a side note for you Bible students, this is the first time saints are referred to Christians in the church. How much he's done to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority when the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. Lord, are you sure you're wanting me to go down there? Because I've heard some negative things about this guy. He's here to kill us. You sure, Lord? Let me get this straight. I want to make sure it's you and not the bad lamb kebab I had last night. I want to make sure that it's you sending me over there. I heard what you said, but that man's here to kill us. You can see the hesitation coming from Ananias now. He'd heard from some refugees who had left Jerusalem because Saul was going house to house, dragging Christians out, bringing them to jail, murdering some of them. He'd heard all these bad things about this Saul of Tarsus that the Lord had just told him to go to and lay hands on. I don't know about you. We're from the South. Laying hands on them may mean a little something different than what we think about in church. It may not be lay hands. It may be lay hands. Lord Jesus appears to Ananias. It was about the third day that Saul had been there, because Scripture says he'd been there 3 days. And this, the third day, Ananias is sent over there. Word had preceded Saul's arrival that he'd gotten letters to remove those who were believers from Damascus and bring them back to Jerusalem to round up all these Christians. How did Ananias know it wasn't a trap he was walking into? Man, he was having doubts. Because he was going to the very man who was responsible for persecuting. Man, word got out that he had Stephen murdered. He's throwing Christians in prison. all sorts of horrible things, confiscating their land, beating men and women, trying to get them to submit and revert back to Judaism. Lord, are you sure about this assignment? Don't you have something else in mind? Lord, I could clean the synagogue for you. I could go pass out tracts down at the corner. You sure you want me to go to Saul? Could you send someone else? Pull a Moses on him. I can't speak very well, Lord. Can you send someone else? I got you covered. I'll send your brother Aaron with you. Nope, Lord didn't tell him any of that. It's you. It's your purpose and your reason to go there. Man, you can just hear the anxiety in him, the doubts, the question. I can only imagine all the thoughts and emotions that were pouring out of Ananias at this time. He said, "Hear my Lord." Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this is a little more than I can handle, God. That's a bad dude. He has authority to do bad things to us. He had questions, he had doubts, he had fears. Listen, Ananias was just like us. He had those doubts. Yet, get this, yet even with all of his doubts, even with his fear, even with the anxieties, he was still faithful. He was still faithful. The third thing we see from this passage is that as Christians, we all have a calling to serve. We all have a calling to serve. You can't get out of service. And if you're trying to get out of service, you're in rebellion against the very one who gave his life on Calvary's cross for you. Why? Because he saved you for service. Not to warm a seat. Not just to chill on Sundays or freeze if you need a blanket. See, God provided each believer with a calling and a purpose in life to be in service to him, verse 15 and 16. But God said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So despite Ananias' doubts and his concerns, which were legitimate, about going to see Saul, whom he'd heard all these horrible things and these bad reports about, the Lord reassures Ananias, "That man you're going to, he's mine. He's my chosen vessel. Go to him." And he tells Ananias exactly what Saul is being called to do. To reach the Gentiles and the kings and the Israelites. Saul, this murderer of Christians, this torturer of Christians, who hated Christ, hated every believer, hated everything about Jesus. Through the power and grace of the Holy Spirit of God, man, he became the first anointed apostle to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And to do this, listen, Saul had to suffer many things for kingdom work. Many things. So the chief persecutor of Christians became chiefly persecuted for Christ. Listen to what Saul tells us. Now remember, Saul is his Hebrew name. Paul is his Greek name. So when he's writing letters, he's known as Paul. But listen here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 28. He gives us a little brief rundown of all the things he had to suffer through. Verse 24 says, "Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. You thought your mama tore you up. have a big old Roman soldier beating on your back. Verse 25 says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, not smoking stuff, but rocks. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent on the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers of rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights in hunger and thirst or exposure, thirst, and often without food and cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there's a daily pressure of one of concern for all the churches. Man, here he gives us a rundown. I've suffered all of this. Now you think about what he had done to the church. Now God multiplies that on him, but he still perseveres for the kingdom. Christ had a calling on Ananias to fulfill what he had given him to do, because he had no idea the magnitude of the mission that Christ was sending him on to lay hands on Saul. We all have a calling. Listen, we can't see the long term of the task that God gives us today. We can't see what God is doing right now 10 years from now. We can't see it. And sometimes as humans go, we get discouraged. I've just been praying and I've been seeking God and I just don't know what he wants me to do. Keep praying, keep seeking. It says Ananias was a devout man. He loved the Lord already. He was seeking God already when God gave him a mission and a calling. And the greater calling was for Paul to go out into all the world. But listen, Ananias played a key role in that. You don't know whose life you are touching. Understand this. I may be on the stage right now, and in the community, people may, well, that's the pastor. Listen, you, wherever you are as a believer, you're on stage. In your household, Christian, people are listening to you. Your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, they're listening to what you say, how you say it, everything about it. You are always on stage. You go to work, people are listening. People are watching you. Is that what a believer looks like? Feeling the pressure yet? That you are always under the microscope. Now, you may try to wiggle out every now and then, but you're always under the microscope. They're wanting to see how a real believer acts with the pressures of life on them. And you have a calling. You have a calling. Ananias had a responsibility to fulfill his, so Saul could fulfill his. We all have that calling. And man, we don't know what the long-term effects will be. We don't know what God's sovereign purpose 20 years from now will be. We just don't know. But man, the investment that God is making in us now and us living and investing in others, one day in heaven we'll understand. There's that old hymn, we'll understand it better by and by. We may not know here, but we'll know over there. Our call may be just to be an encourager. You may be a prayer warrior. A lot of times I hear from senior adults, I just can't go out and do like some of the others used to. I wish I could, but I can't. But you can pray. Prayer is a real battlefield. And God may be calling you to teach Sunday school, maybe to help and teach with VBS. It may be community missions team. We're always doing things and building this and tearing up this. And well, we need more help. Listen, it may be with the student ministry. I'm going to tell you this. I was a youth pastor before I came here as a pastor. And if I was the pastor, you know where I'd be? I'd be right next door in that other room, shooting pool and trash-talking teenagers. Man, that's if you're looking for it, go in and have fun with those teenagers. Be an example to them what a godly man or godly woman looks like. We're all called to be a part of this great commission to make disciples. All of us. We all have a calling. The fourth thing, as Christians, listen, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Ananias hears his task from Christ and the reason why he must go, he must be faithful. Through all of his doubts, all of his fears, all those anxieties, Ananias leaves out of his house and goes to where Jesus told him to go. Verse 17 through 19. So Ananias departed and entered to the house. And after laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you, on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell off of his eyes something like scales. And he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Ananias done what Jesus told him to do. He went down Straight Street. He found Judas's house, and he knocked on the door and went on in to find the very one that the Lord had told him about. There was Saul. There was this one he'd heard all those reports about, helpless, praying, blinded, waiting on the Lord to respond to him. Saul was being faithful. Ananias was being faithful. And great things happened. Ananias fulfilled what God had given him to do. Lay hands on the man. So the power of the Holy Spirit may come upon him. And the blindness scales fell off his eyes. And he could see. Now he could see not only Ananias, the man that God had sent to him. And he got up and he followed in obedience to the command of Christ. He was baptized, which recognized him as part of the church. He called him brother. Brother. Ananias, knowing who Saul was, had overcome those fears. Served Christ in the moment. And he went in personal proximity and had to put hands on him. Hands on him. And recognize him as a brother. Welcome him into the church community as a brother in Christ Jesus. Listen, that's the reality of the cross of Jesus. God can transform enemies into brothers. And sisters in Christ. I never understood how people in church can be mad at each other. Aren't you brothers and sisters in Christ? Quit fighting like your brother and sister at home. I just don't understand it. I don't know about you. Did your mom ever make you go hug when you and your brother or sister got in a fight and you make you go hug in the corner? And before you know it, you're laughing. Maybe that's something we need to do, huh? When people get in a dispute, put them together. Talk it out, work it out, come out hugging and laughing. That's the reality of the cross. Ananias fulfilled his task. Saul could see, and he was empowered with the Holy Spirit and was baptized in obedience. Listen. Saul ate and was strengthened. Every Baptist has that double underlined in their Bible. Verse 19 says, now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. Verse 20, And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, seeing he is the Son of God. What an amazing spirit-filled transformation made in Saul's life. And God used Ananias, an ordinary disciple of Christ, to carry out this challenging task for a radical spread of the gospel of Jesus around the world. This man, minding his own business in his house, approached by the Lord Jesus here in a dream, in a vision, taking his commission with all his fears, all his doubts, all his anxieties, and going to do what God had called him to do. And the church world has never been the same. Four takeaways for us. First one is this: we all have a purpose in God's kingdom. We all have a purpose in God's kingdom. The second one is this: while you're working to understand your purpose, you're going to have some doubts. You're going to have some fear. You're going to have some anxieties. The third thing is we all have a calling. A calling is part of your life that is lifelong. A purpose is a specific task that a specific time and a specific season in your life. A calling is a part of your life that is lifelong. A purpose is a specific task at a specific time and a specific season of your life. And the fourth thing is this: we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not called with a purpose to do it all alone. We have a Christian community that works along with us. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. God put us together as brothers and sisters in Christ because for me to be effective, I need you. And listen, I pray that for you to be effective in your daily work, wherever God has placed you, that you kind of need me too. We work together. We need each other. That's God's design for the church, is that Christian community. Let's pray together. Let's stand. If you have something to pray about, this altar is open and I'll be here in the front. If you want to come pray with me. If not, at the end of this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Father God, we thank you for a man named Ananias, God, that we can just make connection to real quick. God, there's no superstars in your word. Jesus Christ is the only superstar. He's the hero of the Bible. God, we find all these other men and women who are mentioned in the Bible are just so much like us. And today we discovered another one. God, deal with us in 2024. God, maybe there's still people who are seeking out their purpose. God, you have a purpose for them. They need to be seeking you. And God, when they seek you first, you make all these other things known. You reveal to them along the way. God, thank you for giving us encouragement through your word. Thank you for giving us this wonderful missionary. That we look back and we read his writings. And God, he's helped shape all of Christianity. Thank you for Paul. The life and all the struggles that he lived, proclaiming Christ. God, may we take encouragement as we go through our everyday life. There'll be times of disappointment. There'll be times of frustration. But God, there are times of great joy and great victories. Let us stay faithful, Lord, dear in the valley and dear in the mountaintop, so that you would be glorified in this life that you've given to us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.